When was the last time God really annoyed you? Really got under your skin? Now, we can think of this in, you know, lighthearted terms, but also serious terms as well. On the lighter end of the spectrum, I know exactly when God gets under my nerves. Got a long day ahead, a lot of important things on my mind. I just get done with the shower, throw my clothes on. I'm bumping a little bit late for daily mass. And I have the ultimate question that gets me annoyed with God. Where are my keys? And I'll tear around, and I'm embarrassed to admit, I will literally say, Lord, not today. Today's not the day for the test of my patience. Where did I put them? Sometimes that prayer ends well. Sometimes I'll save that for confession. But I think all of us in different ways can identify little ways that God gets under our skin. Now, is it God's fault that I couldn't remember where I put my keys? No. But there still is that little intuition of all days, Lord. We can almost feel like God in the background's like, gotcha. You know, when I think of bigger things within my life, again, when God kind of annoyed me, and I know I've shared this story before, but it's a good one. It's an important part of my life. I'll never forget when I was a sophomore in college. My brother and I were living in the Castle Apartments in Stevens Point. And if you've ever seen the Castle Apartments in Stevens Point, you know that it's an oxymoron because they were far from castles at all. We had a bed, we had a mat on the floor, and we'd rotate in true college, you know, fashion, ramen noodles in hand, of which one of us would sleep on the floor every other week. And right behind there was St. Stephen's Church. And every Tuesday and Thursday, they'd have Eucharistic adoration. And I was really kind of feeling the tug. Do I finish my music degree or do I go to college seminary? I don't know. I just had broken up with a girl I was dating, and so there's all that stuff going on. So I went to St. Stephen's, and just in the silence of my heart, I was just pouring out my heart to God. I'm like, God, just I want to hear the voice. I want you to make it clear as day. I want to hear you say, you should be a priest. I just make it that blunt. There's only one other person in the church praying that day, and it was a woman right up in the front. And there, literally right after I silenced my heart, after begging and silenced, that lady stood up, turned right around, big smile on her face, looked at me, came right up to me and said, you should be a priest, and walked right out of the church. And I did what any holy college student would do in that moment. I went back into prayer annoyed, thinking, God, give me another sign. That wasn't clear enough. And I was annoyed. I was annoyed that God answered my prayer. Now, those are kind of the delightful, and I literally think of them in that time of God snickering like, be careful what you ask for, you know. But I think all of us can think of non-snickering moments too. When my mom got breast cancer, feeling frustrated with God. When some of you have gone through significant illnesses, and there can be that prayer of annoyance of, Lord, break in for this person. And the commingling of beautiful and frustration in my life is sometimes God does. And other times God still does, but not in the way we want. And it can can create that deep frustration for us. I think of all of that when I think of the way that our gospel plays out today. Think of poor Simon Peter. Him and his buddies are out, they're not just putting the line in the water. This is industrial fishing. This is their livelihood. This is world's deadliest catch on the, for them. They're getting their catch for their livelihood. Shut out. That doesn't just mean you're embarrassed because you can't brag with your buddy at the bar afterward about the big one. Your livelihood has been made more difficult. Maybe you can't feed your children that day. Maybe you can't pay your bill that day. And in that defeat, they're cleaning their nets and exhausted. Jesus says, put out. Okay. This guy thinks he's the Messiah. I think he might be too. I'll put out for him. And after he goes on and on and on with a long homily, Jesus then says, hey, get your buddies, let's go fishing. I would not have blamed Peter at all, not fully understanding what it means for Jesus to be Messiah yet in the gospel, if he thought, who does this guy think he is? I'm the fisherman here. You just hang out with the rabbis in the temple and talk about God all day. I feed you. I give you your food. I give you your nourishment. I provide for you so you can do that stuff. Welcome to God annoying Peter. I can just imagine Jesus just kind of sideways smile. Let's go out, Peter. Come on. Oh, cast on that other side. You know, the side you thought there was nothing? Cast there. Don't tell me how to do my job. Boom. And that moment of realization for Peter, not just because Jesus can outfish him, but that realization of, why did I get frustrated with God? And similar to me, whether it be something as simple as my keys, something as offering my prayer for my vocational discernment, or even the heavy stuff of when my mom had breast cancer, there can be that, oh, Lord, why did I do that? Why did I get mad at you? Why did I get frustrated with you? And we can go into that shame cycle. And then Jesus has, for all of us, myself included, the greatest zinger in those moments when we want to beat ourselves up in those moments. Be not afraid. In modern language, don't beat yourself up. Jesus says, oh, by the way, I call you. I need you. I need you to be a priest, Father James, Father James. I need you to be my follower. I need you to be my committed married people. I need you to be my committed single people. I need you, Jesus says, to drag in this catch I want to have of superabundance for the church and for you. He takes our times of annoyance and maybe even a little spit firing with God and transforms it into a vocational call. So that today, dear friends, I would ask you to pray this week with two simple questions. One, how does God get under your skin? Or perhaps better put, how do we blame God when things just don't go right and we want to put it on something or someone? But also then too, when those moments happen, how does God turn that moment of frustration and transform it into a call to a moment of grace? If there's one beautiful thing about this gospel, God accomplishes his plan of salvation two ways: Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, and us cooperating with Christ. And that, in this year of hope, should give us hope. that we don't need to have the learned scholars of our time and, you know, the smartest and wealthiest, all that kind of. Jesus needs you to be his hands, his feet, his voice. He needs you. And he will not turn you away, even when God annoys us. Even when we bite back at God, God says to you, God says to me, let's go fishing, but not for fish. Let's fish for souls. Let's fish for your neighbor. Let's go fishing so that even in our annoyances, God can bring in the whole world to his love.